Would you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, in you we live and move and have our being. And we pray now that as we seek to abide in you and your word, that you would grant to us the Holy Spirit to understand and to let your truth be impressed upon our hearts and reflected out in our lives. This we pray for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be continuing in 1 Peter, in our 1 Peter reading, chapter 3. Last week we were in chapter 2 of this book, and I want to invite you to have your Bibles open with me. But last week we talked about how who we are is built up in Jesus, that he's given us this identity as the people of God. We are who we are because of who he is. He is a living stone, and so we are living stones, built up on him, the cornerstone. Built up into a spiritual house for a place of worship, to proclaim his excellencies in the world. And he's given us this identity, he's given us a purpose, and then he gives us a mission. This is the flow of the Christian life we talked about last week. So this week we want to focus on what Jesus sends us out into. That he's secured us in this identity as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, in order to send us out into the world and bring people in. This is the mission that we are called to as the church and the people of God. And it is for every Christian. It's not just for those with a collar or a title or a degree. It's for you. And it's for me. Do you know that Christianity is the only religion in the world with a missionary imperative, a command that says you must go and make disciples, go and spread the good news? That's a command from the Lord that's central to our faith, that's unique to our faith. Jesus forms us as a people, secures us in the truth of who he is and the gospel, and then he sends us out into the world saying, you are to be in this world but not of this world, like he prayed in John 17. So we're to be engaged with our culture as we are firmly rooted in the gospel, as we're firmly rooted in the truth of who we are. And as we go, I think the Holy Spirit wants us to know how to engage the world with the mission of God and what we should expect as we go. And what we read from our 1 Peter 3 lesson today is that what we should expect is mocking, reviling, slander, even suffering at times. Because as we come to this broken and sinful world with the gospel of Christ and the truth of Christ, when we are firmly secure in who we are and the truth of God's word, we will receive pushback. We will encounter hostility from a world that does not want to hear God's truth. There will be times when following Jesus faithfully means that we will be persecuted. As he says in Matthew chapter 5, and he says that we are blessed when it is so. So we shouldn't be surprised when we encounter hostility in the world. We shouldn't be afraid of receiving pushback from the world. Because Jesus says, and Peter says here, that you are blessed when this happens. You are blessed when you are persecuted, when you're mocked for your faith. In our passage, Peter says in verse 14, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Verse 17 says, for it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. You will be blessed when you suffer for Jesus. And I don't know about all of you, but I tend to still not find that very convincing. The idea of sharing my faith with others, potentially being ridiculed or mocked for it, isn't very motivating. Maybe it is for you. When I was doing campus ministry a long time ago, when I was very young and green, and I thought I knew everything, I was doing campus ministry at the University of Michigan, and we were out doing campus evangelism. And I encountered this one guy in the center of campus on the diag, and I don't remember how I started up the conversation, you know, do you know about the gospel or whatever. But this guy was ready for me. He was ready. He was armed. He wanted to debate. And he was all into the new atheist arguments of the time. And he pointed out to me scriptures and like, why does God say that? And how could a loving God do that? And why would he send people to hell? And how is he just? How is he good? All these things. And he kind of just ran rhetorical circles around me and just left me kind of blubbering and like, oh, I don't know. And it was humiliating. It was really humiliating. And I left that just feeling really down about myself and about the idea of sharing my faith. And I realized that that was kind of a core moment of the fear of doing that again. But it was good for me. I realized I actually need to know responses to these attacks when they come and these questions when they come. I actually need to know my faith more. But this fear that sometimes I think hounds many of us when it comes to the idea of sharing our faith with others, of telling others the good news that has changed our lives, I think many of us have that a fear similarly. Maybe you had a circumstance like that, or maybe you've always been afraid of having a circumstance like mine. But Peter wants to help us overcome this. The Holy Spirit wants to help us overcome these fears. So before we get into that, I want to take a minute just to examine where these fears come from. And I'm going to be speaking a bit generally. Your circumstance is probably different than mine. Your heart's different than mine. I think this is true of many of us. If it's not relevant to you, great. Don't pay attention. For many of us, I think these fears are very real when it comes to sharing our faith. So I want to take a minute just to examine those fears. Now, why do we fear the opinions of others? What drives that in us? Maybe we're afraid of how they might respond if we're bold to share our faith. Maybe we're afraid of changing the tone and dynamic of a relationship. Like, if I say the name of Jesus here, that's just going to change everything about our dynamic and our friendship. Maybe they're going to think I'm weird. Maybe they're going to not want to be with me anymore. When we are fearful of others in this way, it does not help us engage the world well as Jesus sends us out into it. This fear often leads us to silence, sometimes leads us to compromise the truth that we stand on, to soften it so it's more acceptable to the culture, walking back the truths that we believe. When we do not speak for fear of others, or when we soften our beliefs out of fear of offending someone, what we are saying is that your opinion matters more to me than Jesus' opinion of me. Your opinion of me matters more than his lordship in my life and the command that he has given to me. I fear you more than I fear the Lord. To say to someone, in effect, I consider your opinions holier and more sacrosanct than God's view of me. Now, none of us would say this explicitly. None of us would actually believe this. But it is how we live functionally, many of us. And how we live shows what we truly believe. And this is why Peter says the antidote to fear is honoring Christ the Lord as holy. Let's look at verses 14 and 15 together of our passage. That's where I want to focus the rest of our time. End of verse 14, he says, "Have no fear of them." Them is those who want to harm you, those who want to make you suffer because of your faith, those who would ridicule or mock you. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. The antidote to fear is honoring Christ the Lord as holy in our hearts. Do you hear how he sets this up? Don't be afraid. Don't fear them. Don't be troubled. But honor Christ the Lord as holy. Honoring him as holy means that he is the Lord of our life. We sanctify and set apart his lordship as more important than anything else, central to everything that we are, to revere him above everything else, the Holy One who takes the place of highest priority in our hearts. Sanctify Christ the Lord as holy in your heart, because he is the Holy One and no one else. He is the one to whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is the one that is sovereign and almighty at the center of the universe. And that means that you and I are not at the center of the universe. That means that the person you're talking to is not the center of the universe, that they are not holy. They are not the Lord. So our call here is to exalt Jesus as holy, set apart in our hearts and lives, the Lord of our lives, and let everything else fall into proper perspective underneath that. Because when Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, he is exalted as the only holy one in your heart, then why are we wasting our time being afraid of the opinions of others? Because the Holy One is in you. The Holy One is for you. And it's not to say that we don't care at all about the opinions or the beliefs of others. We don't respect other people. That's not what we're saying. But it means that their opinion of you, or even their potential opinion of you that's driving your silence, does not get to occupy the position of lordship in your heart. You hear what I'm saying with that? When we don't speak because of the fear of someone's potential opinion of you, you're exalting that potential opinion to the place of lordship in your heart. And some of us need to repent of that. I need to repent of that. To say, Lord, I repent. And have mercy on me for all the times that I have upheld the opinions of others as holier than you. When I feared mockery more than I love you. So honor Christ the Lord as holy in your hearts. And then Peter says, as we honor Christ the Lord as holy, you and I need to be always ready to share when people ask. Because the implications of the lordship of Christ in our lives will reverberate through every area of our life. Our ethics, our morality, our priorities, our understanding of life and death and work and family and our relationships. Honoring Christ the Lord as holy in all of these things will have an effect. It will mean that our lives look different than those around us. And when we honor Christ the Lord as holy in our hearts and our lives, people will ask. People will ask, why are you different? Where does your peace come from? Where does your hope come from when all around us is despair? Where does your sense of purpose come from? Your ability to love patiently and to be gracious and forgiving others. What's different? That's why the call to honor Christ the Lord as holy in our hearts means that our lives need to be consistent with our testimony that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life, and so my life looks different. And people will ask. And we need to always be ready to share and make a defense for the hope that is in us. Give a reason, make a defense for why your life looks different, because Jesus Christ is Lord. He has saved me. He has redeemed me from my sin, rescued me out of darkness, and brought me into his marvelous light. He has revealed himself to me as the one who loves me and is merciful to me and knows me inside and out and yet still loves me. And he's called me to his purposes. That's what's different about me. What's your testimony? What can you always have ready to share? Maybe you don't think you have a good testimony. Your life's been kind of boring, and maybe you've grown up in this faith. Maybe a better question to ask yourself and to be ready to share is, why am I a Christian? Why is your life, why does your life must look different than the world around you? Why is it worth it to be a Christian? Always be prepared to share and to give a defense for your life. To share the hope that is in you. That's how Peter sums up the whole Christian faith. The hope that is in you. And in our world today, nihilism is on the rise. Fatalism and declinism is on the rise. And people need hope. They need to see it in you and me. They need to see the witness of your life that is not shaken by the external circumstances of the world, that is not torn by anxiety about the state of the world, and stands with courage and purpose in the face of life's trouble. People need to see that and need to know that in you. And Peter says, he exhorts us, we share all of this with gentleness and respect. Gentleness is that virtue of strength under control, a calmness of heart and life and speech and demeanor that's driven out of love for the other. Gentleness requires strength and steadiness as we engage with others. Respect means that we treat everyone that we interact with as a human being made in the image of God, valuable in and of themselves, valuable for their life, valuable for their thoughts and their experiences and their worldviews. We respect other people. And we love them enough to share about the hope that is in us. With gentleness and respect, not with harshness, not with mockery. Some might defend their convictions with mockery of others or to slam down others in order to make ourselves feel better. That's not us as Christians. That's not what we do, because it's not what Christ did. It's not in his character, and so it cannot be in our character. When we are mocked, we do not respond with mocking. We do not repay evil with evil or reviling with reviling, but on the contrary, we bless those who persecute us and mock us. Because this is what our Lord has done for us. Verse 18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins." You are not alone. You are never alone. He suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. In the face of mocking and reviling and immense suffering, Christ our Lord responded with love, laying down his life for our sake. So we are called to share our faith confidently, gently, respectfully, and in love. knowing that when we suffer for the sake of Christ, we are blessed because we are doing just what he did. As we suffer for righteousness' sake or endure ridicule or mocking, we are becoming more like our Lord. What a privilege that is. We can have the strength and the steadiness to do this when we honor Christ the Lord as holy in our hearts, when he is our all in all, when he is our greatest joy and our highest reward, when his opinions of us, his thoughts towards us are more precious than anything else. When we have that identity that's built up and secured in him, he's given us that purpose. And so he sends us out on that mission, secure in who we are, secure in his love, abiding in him, as he says in John chapter 15. Abiding in his presence, abiding in his love, abiding in his word. Secure, safe. Nothing can come against you that will harm you. And we always are ready to share him with others. Always be looking and praying for opportunities to share the hope that is in you with others. So as we close, I just want to ask a few questions, three questions for you. I want to encourage you to take these into your week and ponder them with the Lord, and maybe with your home group or your Bible study in the next few days. Questions for reflection. First, are you living a life that makes people ask? Are you living a life that makes people ask, where it's evident that Jesus is Lord of your life? And there's something different about the choices you make, the way you live, your habits, your patterns of living in this world. Are you living a life that makes people ask? Second, ponder, what makes it hard for you to share your faith with others? What makes it hard for you to share your faith with others? Where does that fear come from in you? And how can you give it over to the Lord? Third, are you prepared to share? Are you prepared to share and make a defense for the hope that is in you? Can you articulate why you are a Christian? Do you know and understand the gospel of grace that saves you? And maybe, can you equip yourselves with responses to some of these attacks that we know come against our faith? Are you prepared to share? So, thank you, Michelle. I put those questions up there. Hopefully, you can recall them, take a picture if you need, and ponder them throughout this week. I want to encourage you to take those to the Lord, and maybe in your small group, and ponder those in the next few days. But as we reflect on these things, let us be praying for and looking for those opportunities to share the hope that is in us, because this is his command for us to go and share the good news. Go and make disciples. He has given us an identity as a people of God, set apart for him. He has given us a purpose to belong to him and to offer sacrifice of worship to him and to proclaim his excellencies in this world, to go out and be on mission. He's forming us as a people in order to send us out. So let us honor Christ the Lord as holy in all that we do by sharing him with the world and giving him glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.